I'm flying high, defying gravity, just like the magnets.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm a science teacher.
I'm Cheryl, and I slept through science.
Each episode, we'll tackle a science question you may have learned in school, but can't quite remember or fully explain.
And I'll take the risk of asking the dumb questions so that we can all understand the science we slept through.
The bell has rung. Let's get started. Welcome to Lesson 69. We are starting a new unit this week on invisible things.
Ooh, spooky. I'm so excited, Ryan. This is going to be a really fun unit. Once we kind of came up with this idea, it was like, oh my gosh, there's so much science that's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
That's part of what makes science challenging for a lot of people, I think, is learning about things that we can't see. And yet there's tons of stuff that we can't see all the time that's also very, very real.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I feel like to kick it off, we need to start with the topic that honestly I'm the most excited about, but I feel like is kind of one of the maybe the most famous of misunderstood invisible things in science.
Okay.
All right. And that is gravity.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gravity. That's a great topic. It's very important. Let's go ahead and get into the pre-assessment then. And well, I want to start with an interesting question. When you say it's the most misunderstood, what makes you say that about gravity?
Well, maybe I'm just thinking historically, like it's maybe one of the more well-known misunderstood science topics because like it's one of those things that we all remember from science classes, like that somebody had to prove that like no matter the mass of something that gravity had the same pull on it, and that people like didn't believe that back in the day or whatever. Was that Newton as well? Who was that? Galileo? Who's doing gravity things?
They both
like
do gravity
church
things.
Tower, drop two things, they hit the earth at the same time.
So that was not a church tower.
Okay.
That was the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. And that was Galileo.
And that's why it's leaning. Now we know.
And that's not why it's leaning. But it's a good story. And we don't know if he actually did that or not. He may have actually done it there. He may not have.
Oh,
but he
is
did
this a,
deal with those.
I cannot tell a lie. Are these just like things we hear about historical figures that were like, of course they did this like moment.
And maybe they didn't. And actually there's another really famous one about gravity, actually more famous than the Leaning Tower.
Really?
That also probably didn't happen. The most famous story about gravity ever.
I'm guessing you're miming an egg on your head.
It's not a, no, it's a, it's red. It's something is red and falling on my head. An apple. You don't know this.
George Washington, Johnny Appleseed. Who did stuff
Older.
With apples? Adam and Eve.
Not quite that old. Who's the other? There's, I would say, three famous scientists related to gravity. There's others, of course, but three famous ones. And you actually mentioned the least well. Well, you didn't know
really?
Which one it was, but the least well known one is Galileo.
Newton?
Sir Isaac Newton. Yes.
Okay.
He's the apple one.
He is?
You don't know this story. Yeah. You don't know this story at all.
I slept through it. I don't know.
Apparently. Okay. Well, who's the third gravity scientist?
Wait, so Galileo and Newton and, I mean, Einstein's the other name that comes to mind, but
it's
really?
Einstein. Yeah.
Really? Yep. Oh, I was like, it's too obvious. It can't be Einstein.
Nope. It is Einstein.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's get into this a little bit more. You already mentioned one thing that you think you understand about gravity, which is no matter the mass, the gravity is the same.
Yes. Obviously, like the exception to that would be like if you drop a feather, then like the wind is going to blow it around and slow it down. So there's like other elements that might slow something down. But that concept of does not matter the size or the mass, gravity has the same pull at the same rate.
Hold on. Things so falling. You initially said that the mass matters, and then you just said that it doesn't matter the size or the mass.
No, I'm saying it doesn't matter what it is. It all gets pulled the same.
So when you say pulled the same, what do you mean by that?
Oh, gosh. Does gravity pull us? I think gravity pulls us.
Okay.
Although we did discuss in a former episode that Phoebe and Friends was very, very slightly right when she said we're not being pulled down so much as we are being pushed down. And you said, but only a tiny bit. Really, we're mainly being pulled down. But I don't know why. This is what I don't understand. Because we a long time ago, we talked about Pluto. We talked about what defines mm-hmm. a planet. Mm-hmm. And you talked about what, there were like those three main things. And one was that it has mm-hmm. gravity, that it like enough mm-hmm. that it has an atmosphere. And also no. enough that it like clear. Okay. Enough that it clears a pathway. Enough that it, things rotate around it.
Nope. enough that it pulls itself into a round shape.
Oh, okay.
Clearing a pathway is one of the other things, but
okay. So why is it that a bunch of crap all thrown together just like all then has gravity and pulls itself into a round shape? The shape being round makes sense to me because okay. that feels like that's the most things could get pulled in is in a round shape. If it were a square, mm. the corners would be further away from the center. So I think that mm-hmm. shape makes sense. But why is it that like a bunch of dust or a bunch of rocks or whatever, when there's enough of them present, then they have gravity and pull themselves in?
I see.
And a gravitational pull. Yeah, because isn't it like bigger planets have more gravity?
What do you mean by bigger?
Larger.
In size.
Okay. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I've heard like people weigh different amounts on different planets because of the gravity. Mm-hmm. Like okay. on the moon, there's less of it. I thought that was because the moon was smaller. So like the okay. more stuff, the more there's this gravitational pull, it sounds like. Why? Why is that the case in the first place?
When you say more stuff, what do you mean by that?
Dirt, dust, water, things that make up a planet, magma.
Okay. Ooh, okay. okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. The other things make a little more sense to me, but I don't understand why it would have gravity in the first place.
Okay. Are you asking what gives things gravity in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, in a sense, where does gravity come from?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what you're getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
You were just hoping to tell me a story about the Leaning Tower of Pisa and call it good, but
you're going deep quick. All right. We can do this.
Deep. I don't know, Earth, something.
Well, I'm going to do my best to be able to get at all of the things that you talked about, Cheryl, and I think I should be able to do most of them. The very last thing that you talked about could be a little bit of a challenge, but we'll see. We'll see how we do. The first thing that I'm going to start with is actually before we talk about exactly the things that you said, we actually have to distinguish something about gravity. When we're talking about gravity, we actually can talk about more than one thing. We can talk about the force of gravity, which is what you were referring to like as the pull, mm-hmm. right? It's actually a force. And in physics, force is just a push or a pull on something. So that works really well. The force of gravity or the acceleration from gravity. From that force. So the how much an object accelerates.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it speed up?
That's what an acceleration is. Yeah. Speeding up, a slowing down, or a changing direction.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I do remember learning something about that. Like you don't stay the same speed if you're like falling.
Right.
So things speed up.
Yes. That's right. Things do speed up to a point. That's the first example that you talked about with Galileo and dropping the two things from the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That's where the acceleration due to gravity is the same on all objects. Gravity causes all objects to fall or accelerate at the same rate, no matter their size or no matter their mass.
Hmm.
And you use the example of a feather, and that's a great example, where a feather will definitely fall more slowly, but it's because of the air.
Yeah.
Right? Other things, not just gravity involved. And there are several examples. I'm looking around really quickly to see if there's one that I can do fairly easily that help you see that. I don't know if this is going to translate visually or not, but I have a piece of paper. It's not a very big piece of paper. And if I drop it, I'm going to try to drop it from here and do your best to kind of see how long it takes it to fall.
It did a little flutter.
It did a little flutter, right? It didn't fall straight.
But it did a little flutter.
Yeah.
It goes to the side sometimes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it is falling, but it's like, right? Yep. If I take the exact same piece of, that's a technical term. If I take the exact same piece of paper and I crumple it up into a ball, so it's the exact same mass, but now its shape is different and I drop it.
It went straight down.
I don't know if you can you tell a difference in how it falls?
Yeah. Yeah. It just goes straight down.
Goes straight down and a little bit faster. I don't know if you can tell that because it's not falling on that big of a distance that we're seeing, but it falls faster. And so we know that that's not because of the mass of the object because it's the exact same mass. So it's a little brief little experiment that you could do to test that out. So that's what Galileo was doing is because people used to think, and I totally understand why people would think it, but a heavier thing would fall faster than a lighter thing.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems really logical.
It does.
Yeah.
Because you can see examples where that happens, just like you talked about if you drop a feather in a brick, the brick is going to drop faster than the feather.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of the air and some of those things. So that's the first part about gravity is the acceleration due to gravity, how much it makes you speed up the rate at which something, for example, would fall. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second side is the force of gravity, and that is not the same based on mass. The force of gravity is dependent on the mass of the object.
Oh, okay.
So the force does depend on the mass. The more massive an object is, the greater a force of gravity you will feel. That's like what you were talking about where you weigh more on the Earth, you weigh less on the moon because the moon has less mass, which means the force of gravity pulling you to the surface is less on the moon than it would be on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true if you, let's say, you lose weight. So the Earth might be the same mass, but if you lost some mass, you would weigh less because your mass went down. So there's less of a pull of gravity. That's all weight is. It's the measure of how strongly gravity is pulling you down towards the surface of the Earth.
Oh, okay.
That's why, if you step on a scale, what you've done is you've put the scale between you and the Earth, and it's measuring how much you're being pulled down.
Interesting. That's the force. That's cool.
Yeah. And this is going to get at your other question, where does gravity come from? And I'm going to try and answer it at a reasonable level. But if you continue to have questions, feel free to continue to ask them and we can go to a deeper level if you want to or need to. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So I said the more mass something has, the more gravity it has. Mass, the simple way of thinking about mass is anything that's stuff. And you talked about stuff. You already kind of used that term earlier and I asked you what you meant about stuff. And so the easiest way to think about it is atoms, molecules, substances, things that, you know, you could feel or touch if there was enough of it. Those things all have mass. And if you put more of those things together, then they have stronger gravity. But your question was, well, what causes them to kind of come together in the first place? so that they can even like have the gravity at all? Well, the answer is that all things that have mass have gravity. All of them, no matter how big they are. You have gravity right now. It's just really weak. Because you don't have a lot of mass.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity
well, thank
you. Is. You're welcome. Gravity is actually a very weak force. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Okay. You're going to have to hold on for just 1 minute because I'm going to go get something as an example. So hold on one sec. Okay. Okay. I've got two things to show you as this example. What is this first thing?
Safety pin.
Okay. The second thing, you might not know what it is just by looking at it.
It looks like three magnets.
Yes.
Stuck together.
They are. They are three magnets that are stuck together. Okay. How big are these magnets, Cheryl?
I mean, smaller than a dime in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, yep. I don't know, they're like a little stack.
It's like a little stack, right? Not mm-hmm. very big.
No.
I am going to use these magnets, these tiny little magnets, to overcome the gravity of the entire planet Earth. I'm serious. Are you ready?
Yes.
So in my hand, okay. I have the safety pin.
Uh-huh.
I have the magnets. I'm going to uh-huh. hold the magnets over the safety pin.
Oh.
What just happens?
The safety pin flew up in the air to the magnets.
To the magnets, off of my hand. It's like magic. Mm-hmm. Okay. These tiny magnets are exerting a greater force on the safety pin than the entire planet Earth. And I know that because if the force of gravity was greater, the safety pin would be pulled down. And it's not.
Hmm.
These tiny magnets are so much stronger than the gravity of Earth. We usually think of gravity as being a really, really strong force.
Yeah.
Because it holds us to the Earth. It keeps us in orbit around the sun. It keeps the moon in orbit around the Earth. It's very important. But we actually only see the effects of gravity when you have huge objects with lots of mass, because each little tiny part has gravity, but until you get enough of them together, you don't really notice the effects. Other forces are so much stronger, like electromagnetism, for example. So how does a planet have gravity? How do these things do that? Well, each little object has gravity. And as they slowly start to come together through a whole lot of complicated processes, the more that is together, the greater the gravity becomes. So then if there's a little bit more gravity, it can do a little bit more of attracting things, which can increase the gravity so it can attract more things, which can increase the gravity so it can attract more things. And it just kind of builds from there. But everything with mass has gravity.
Why does everything with mass have gravity?
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure if that would be enough or not. I'm going to answer this in two ways. Way number one is that is one of the properties of matter, is that it has gravity. That's like the way the universe is set up. And so we don't necessarily know why the universe is set up the way that it is. It just is. And like sometimes, like there's a lot of whys, and you can ask lots of why questions, and why questions are good. But eventually, with any topic, eventually, if you ask why enough times, you will reach something where, because that is the fundamental level of the way that it is.
Hmm.
Now, technically, we haven't reached the fundamental level yet with gravity in what we've talked about. So that's why this is answer number one. It's like, well, that's kind of the way the universe is. Okay. Answer number two involves a little bit more complexity, and I will give you the brief version. And if you want to know more about it, I suggest we do a separate lesson just on this topic. I don't know if you remember hearing about the discovery of something called the Higgs boson.
Yeah, because it sounds ridiculous. I don't even know what either of those words are.
Well, Higgs is someone's name.
Okay.
So it's named after Peter Higgs. So the Higgs boson is named after Peter Higgs, who is one of the people who proposed it. Boson is not like bozo, although I'm guessing that's what it sounds like to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boson is a category of particle, really, really tiny particle, like smaller than atom particle. That's a category. So it's a particular type of one of those particles called the Higgs boson. And the Higgs boson is a result of something called the Higgs field, which goes across the entire universe. And what mass is the interaction of matter with this thing called the Higgs field. Something like light that doesn't have mass does not interact with the Higgs field at all, and it just moves whoosh, straight through it. No problem. That's why light can move the fastest speed possible in the universe. But objects that have mass interact with the Higgs field. You can almost think about it like water in a swimming pool and different objects that you try to drag through the swimming pool. And depending on like the shape of that object, it's going to interact with the water differently. Even think of like your hand, right? If you take your hand and hold it like vertically up and down and you move it through the water, it's going to move a lot slower than if you turn it horizontally so that you can like slide through the water. Right. Mm-hmm. And so its orientation changes the way it interacts with the water. That's kind of like the Higgs field would be kind of like the water, and different particles have different properties. They have different shapes. They have different orientations and interact with that field in different ways. And the more it interacts with that field, the more mass it has, the slower it moves through space.
And is that field everywhere?
Yes. That field is everywhere.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out what that has to do with gravity, though.
That's what gives objects mass, and then objects with mass then attract each other via gravity. They have that force. It's a force between them.
Okay.
Now why do they get attracted to each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'm going to give you a quick version of Einstein's theory of relativity, general relativity. Okay. And you may have seen this example before. I didn't make it up. Can you picture a trampoline, giant trampoline?
Yeah.
Okay. If you were to sit on that trampoline, what would happen to the surface of that trampoline?
It would go down.
It would go down.
Do a little sagging. Yeah.
Do a little sagging. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say you're sitting in the middle of the trampoline and then someone takes a marble and like rolls it towards you. Not like directly towards you, but like nearby you. What's that marble going to do?
Oh, it's just going to like come straight to me.
Well, if it's pointed straight at you, it's going to come straight to you. Now let's say that they roll it not straight to you, but like as if it were going to go past you, like in front of you. Is it going to go in a straight line?
No, it'll be like a curve.
Why will it curve?
Because of the angle of the trampoline, like that it angles down towards where I'm sitting.
Okay.
And so it's going to curve along that angle.
It is. It's going to curve along that angle. It's going to follow the curve that's in the surface of the trampoline created by you sitting on the trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein's theory of general relativity says that what matter does to space is it actually bends space itself.
What?
And that what we experience as gravity is one object following the curve of bent space.
That's so cool.
I think so. I think it's amazing.
Wow, that's really interesting. What's the actual theory? Like, what does it say? Because it's,
well,
like,
it's,
you,
mathematical.
Like, paraphrased it. Oh, okay. So you were telling me, like, the English version of a math thing.
I'm telling you the application of what the math describes.
Okay. Yeah.
I could show you Einstein's field equation if you would like to see it.
Sure. I mean, it won't mean much to me, but maybe one of our listeners or viewers would enjoy actually seeing the equation. And for people who are just listening, you can also check us out. We're always on YouTube if you want to see me look real confused just a minute ago. Or if you want to see whatever Ryan screen shares for his visuals, or if you want to see him drop a crumpled up piece of paper, or do a magic trick, you can see all of that on YouTube.
All of it. All right. This is just a Wikipedia page, so it's nothing super fancy. And I'll, of course, link to it in the description below. And I'll zoom this in a little bit to try and make it bigger. Okay. But this, and there can be, there's different forms of Einstein's field equation, but this is the basic form. You know, where G mu nu is the Einstein tensor, G mu nu is the metric tensor, T mu nu is the stress energy tensor, delta is the cosmological constant, and K is the Einstein gravitational constant.
But you knew that's all.
Yeah. But if you look at it, actually, I'm obviously being a little facetious, but if you look at this, it's just one number plus another number times another number equals a number times a number. So like, there's no calculus. It's just like addition and multiplication. And then obviously if you wanted to solve for something, you'd have to do algebra to move them around.
Yeah.
Now, some of these other numbers are other things, and that's what the rest of this is going through. So the Einstein tensor is defined as, and it goes through these other pieces and things like that. So you can rewrite the equation in this other form down here, but still now just we have like a fraction of one half. We have a few more variables, and now we have a minus and a plus. Now, there's other things you can do with the equation, and it can get a lot more complicated or whatever. But Einstein's, that's one of the things that is amazing about Einstein is that a lot of the ideas that he came up with, even though they have ridiculously complex applications, the ideas themselves are relatively simple. Now, it doesn't mean that they're easy to understand, but it means they're not complex. There's not like 10 different, you know, pages of notes to be able to explain this big, huge, long thing. He was able to kind of narrow it down to like these key ideas. And then when you apply it, it can get very complicated and very complex. But the actual core idea itself, relatively simple. See what I did there? Relatively
sure did,
simple. All right, Cheryl, after all of that, it is now time for your quiz.
I would prefer to sing songs about gravity instead.
Okay, I'll let you sing a song about gravity. Go.
Okay. Let's see. Defying gravity, I'm flying high, defying gravity, just like the magnets. See, I tied it into the lesson.
Ooh, very good. Very good. I'll give you bonus points for that.
Yes.
Yes. All right, first question. What are two aspects of gravity that we talked about? I talked about there are kind of two different parts to gravity.
Okay, so one was about that regardless of the mass of an object, the acceleration is the same.
Yep, so acceleration is one of them. And what's the other one?
That the mass of the object determines the force of gravity that pulls upon it, or is that how you'd say it? Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't have to say upon, but it does sound more old-timey science-y.
Thou uponest the gravitiest.
That's it. That's the one. Okay. And you kind of already answered the second question already. What do we know about acceleration of gravity when objects are dropped from the same height.
It's all the same.
Yep. The acceleration will be the same. Yep. Nice job. What characteristic of an object determines, and you kind of already said this too, how strong the force of gravity is?
I was going to say it's weight, but really it's mass.
It's mass. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the mass is the same no matter where you are, but the weight changes depending on the force of gravity.
That makes sense.
Okay. How does the strength of gravity compare to the strength of other forces?
It's pretty weak, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty
not
weak.
Impressive at all.
No.
Ugh. Although it still can kill gravity. People. So like, you know.
Gravity can kill people?
Yeah, if you fell from a height. Oh,
okay. Sure.
You would still die.
You would still die. Yeah.
But if a parachute you fall out would of save a- you. A little piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And finally, how does general relativity describe gravity?
That the force of gravity creates like a bend in the air, similar to like the bend in the trampoline, where then things that are nearby it will follow that curve created by that. And we don't see it, but like there's like an arc around whatever round object it is. And so it's going to follow that same curve or arc if there's like a thing, I don't know, like a moon going around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. A couple of just little word differences. It's not the force of gravity that creates the bending, it's something with mass that bends space. And what we observe as the force of gravity is that object following that bend, following that curve.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Yep. Yep. So, but yes, you've got that. You've got the trampoline image in your brain. And if at some point you would like to learn more about that idea of general relativity, we can do a whole lesson because there's tons more to unpack and understand related to general relativity. But I think we're good right now. I don't know that we need to go any deeper into gravity at the moment.
I just have a John Mayer song stuck in my head called Gravity now. So.
Oh, do you need to sing that one too?
Yes. It's very silly. It goes, gravity is working against me. Gravity wants to keep me down. Did you know that about gravity? That it wants to keep me down?
It depends on the gravity, but yeah, I guess the gravity of Earth wants to keep me down, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rude. Rude. All right. Well, I'll let you just keep singing gravity songs in your head. But while you do that, we're out of time. So why don't you pack up your stuff and get ready for my closing remarks. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at I Slept Through Science or on Twitter at Slept Science.
If you have dumb science questions like I do, please send them to us. You can email us at isleptthroughscience@gmail.com or you can even send us a voice memo and we'll play it on the podcast.
Please rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it. Subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode and share about our podcast on social media.
Thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you.